Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Kremery. Thank you for tuning in. The Juneau School District Board of Education appointed Steve Whitney to the board on Saturday. Whitney will fill a seat held by Will Muldoon until his sudden resignation from the board last month. Whitney is a former school board member and works for the National Marine Fisheries Service. He served a three-year term from 2016 to 2019 and decided not to run for re-election in order to care for a family member. In his interview, Whitney said he plans to focus on maintaining the public process at board meetings.
My mindset going forward to be to focus much more on the healing community and collaboration while we deal with difficult decisions, because I believe that is what this time calls for. And that was also what would best serve our children.
Whitney said he wants to balance ensuring teachers in the district get fair contracts with the district's budget constraints. Whitney will serve until the board elections in October, when a new member will be elected to serve the two remaining years of the term. And Senator Lisa Murkowski has introduced a bill that would reauthorize funds for landslide monitoring projects across Southeast Alaska. Jillian Nicolazzo is the acting manager of Alaska's Landslide Hazards Program. She says the original legislation, passed in 2020, has fueled the state's response to landslide risk that's intensifying with climate change. Much of the funding comes through the U.S. Geological Survey.
Yeah, without the USGS funding, we don't have another pot of money to use.
The state program has taken on a range of projects as a result. Perhaps most important is an effort to create a national database that compiles information on where landslides have happened. Alaska's version of that inventory is nearly complete. Nicolazzo says it's an important first step toward better understanding where landslides have already happened and where they're more likely to happen in the future. The federal funding has also fueled work focused on Southeast weather stations. Funding for the programs was only authorized through last year. The new bill would extend it through 2035. The House Natural Resources Subcommittee on Energy and Mineral Resources is set to hold a hearing on the legislation tomorrow. The Alaska Department of Education and Early Development failed a test that allows it to include millions of federal dollars towards its contribution to education funding. KTOO's Jamie Deep has more.
Alaska receives millions of dollars in education funding each year called Federal Impact Aid. That money makes up lost revenue for regions with land that can't be taxed, like federal and Alaska Native-owned land. The state can put that money toward its own obligation to school districts in those regions, as long as there isn't too big of a gap or disparity in funding between the most and least funded school districts. In a letter to State Education Commissioner Dina Bishop Friday, the Federal Department of Education said the state failed the disparity test. That means what's usually tens of millions in federal aid won't count toward the state's education contribution for the next fiscal year. The state failed the test because the gap between the most and least funded school districts it compared was too wide. The state failed the test before in 2021, but successfully appealed the decision. The letter also says the state can request a hearing with the federal department if it will be negatively impacted by the test result. Bishop said in a Friday email to KTOO the department is considering its options moving forward. This comes as the state's education department is pursuing a regulation change that is intended to keep it from failing the disparity test. The regulation would further limit how much funding local governments can contribute to school districts, but it's unclear if local contributions were a factor in the test failure. The state has 60 days from the letter being sent to request a hearing. In Juneau, I'm Jamie Deep.
Tribal leaders from across the country spoke out this week at a U.S. Senate hearing against changes within the Department of Health and Human Services. Alaskans are also eyeing how potential cuts to the department's Indian Health Service could affect Native communities. The Alaska Desk's Alonia Nyden has more.
The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services announced in March that it would cut 20,000 health jobs, consolidate some of its divisions, and close regional offices. That was in response to an executive order from President Trump to optimize the workforce across the federal government. The Senate hearing this week looked at how that decision could harm HHS programs that benefit Native Americans. Senator Lisa Murkowski chaired the hearing.
These aren't just federal services, they're really critical components of the social safety net. And my view is that these programs support family stability, child development, and basic dignity.
Affected programs include child care, services for domestic violence victims, and substance abuse prevention. One of the witnesses at the hearing was Melissa Charlie, the executive director of the Fairbanks Native Association. The association provides a tribal Head Start program to hundreds of children in the interior, offering them educational and cultural activities. Students also receive health screenings and referrals to specialists. The association also receives HHS funds for emergency shelter and services for survivors of domestic violence. Charlie says more than half of their clients reported family violence last year.
As women leave a domestic violence situation with just the clothes on their back, they can't afford the temporary housing, not in Fairbanks, and especially in remote Alaska.
Others who spoke at the hearing said that staff layoffs have been carried out without proper communication with the tribes. The Senate hearing focused on HHS programs that are not part of the Indian Health Service, which is an agency within the department. But that agency might also be facing changes. The Trump administration has proposed to reduce the HHS budget, which includes cutting $900 million, nearly 30%, from the Indian Health Service, according to the budget proposal. William Smith is the National Indian Health Board Chairman and the Valdez Native Tribe Chief. In an interview last month, he said the proposal would lead to closure of clinics, losses of essential staffing, and an increase in preventative deaths in Native communities.
When we talk about the budget cuts to the Indian Health Service, these are not just budget numbers, you know, these are our lives.
Smith says that the federal government has treaty and trust obligations to ensure Native people have access to health care.
We paid with our land, we paid with our health, we paid with our culture.
The Indian Health Board wrote letters last month to the HHS Secretary Robert Kennedy Jr. speaking up against the cuts. In Anchorage, I am Alona Naiden.
And now for Curious Juno. This week's episode is about a beloved chocolate cake recipe from a legendary local restaurant's cookbook.
People love this cake.
That's Abigail Sweetman, a Juno resident from Ketchikan who spends nearly all of her free time coming up with new recipes in her Star Hill apartment.
I'm a huge sugar person, and I grew up making a lot of desserts because, like, it was something I liked. It was something that I couldn't really get much of in Ketchikan. Most of my love of food came from, like, baking at a young age.
She wrote into KTOO to ask about the origin of said cake, the North Douglas chocolate cake. And while I started looking around for the people who named it, Sweetman gathered ingredients to make it.
It has butter and oil, which is pretty decadent. She says to combine basically like most of the wet ingredients in the cocoa and bring it to a boil.
The recipe is in the Fiddlehead Cookbook. The cookbook, which is older than Sweetman, is based on a restaurant that operated in Juneau for nearly 30 years. It closed 2 decades ago, but the cookbook and the North Douglas chocolate cake has lived on.
Like, it was a cake that I had in childhood and didn't realize that it's a cake that I had. And I'm like, oh, like, I didn't realize that they named a cake after North Douglas. And I was like, there's got to be a story there.
And there is a story there. As the cake bakes in Sweetman's oven, we'll hear from the woman who introduced it to Juno. The story is rather simple, actually, according to Linda Zagar. She's the baker the cookbook credits with bringing it to the Fiddlehead restaurant.
My best friend's mom made this cake, and it was called Choco Bake. It has a real name. It's a real recipe. You know, I did not create the recipe. That's what I always tell people. I just brought it.
Zagar moved to Alaska with that same best friend in the 1970s and followed her now husband to Juneau. They've lived in North Douglas for decades. Zagar worked at the Fiddlehead restaurant for several years and worked in just about every role there, waiting tables, washing dishes, prep cooking, before she became the morning baker. She said a lot of staff would bring in favorite recipes they had accumulated over the years.
For some reason, this one stuck.
She added a couple of twists. She made it a layer cake with more frosting and added walnuts around the edge, though the nuts didn't make it into the cookbook. And Zagar says she loves chocolate, so instead of plain cocoa powder, she used dark. The name, however, was a savvy act of branding.
And my boss at the time said, well, what's the name? And I said, Choco Bake. And he goes, no. He goes, you're the North Douglas baker. Let's call it the North Douglas chocolate cake. And I think that's half of it. It has a cool name. But then it just became a thing.
Nancy DeTourney was part of the Fiddlehead restaurant, too, as a cook and manager.
All of us were getting out of college, and there was money up here. And so we had the blessing of having a staff that was highly educated and full of, you know, it was the 70s. Everybody was full of exciting ideas.
DeTourney remembers what it was like to walk into the Fiddlehead. She describes dark wood furniture and ferns, a smoking and non-smoking section. She wrote the Fiddlehead cookbook in the 1990s and says she loves hearing people talk about their favorite recipes from the cookbook now. She's glad it's lived on.
And, you know, I think partly it's not real difficult food. It's accessible. Some of it is a little unusual, but I think the average bear can cook it, you know?
Yeah.
And it'll turn out okay.
Back in her apartment, Sweetman pulls the cake out of the oven.
Moving a cake is risky.
And she starts to assemble it.
I always want layer cakes to turn out a little better than they do. And then I usually get to the end of it and I'm like, it's more important to me that this tastes good.
For the record, it also looks good. With some extra decoration that's not in the cookbook. Edible eyeballs.
I'm also anticipating that you should take some home because I'm kind of always overrun with dessert.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I'm willing to help with that.
And Zagar says it's always better on the second day. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Cremery. For more Curious Juneau stories or to submit one of your own questions, go to ktoo.org/curious. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 62 degrees and sunny. Tonight, the low is 48 degrees, and it may stay dry for a bit tomorrow, but there's a 30% chance of rain after 4 p.m. It looks like Tuesday night and Wednesday could be rainy as well, and the weather may clear up again on Thursday with temperatures between the mid-40s and mid-50s. You're listening to KTOO.